Welcome in to episode 166, clickety click, of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm your host Louise, and today I've got What's a Crack, Caithness section, Retreat section, Coming Up, Me section, the Shoppy section, and a Dramps with a selection of malt whiskey. This episode has kindly been sponsored by my very good friends Joe and Mika of Edinburgh Yarnfest. Edinburgh Yarn Festival is less than a week away. The excitement is mounting and people will soon be setting off on their journey to Edinburgh to return inspired and laden with wool. If you are coming and you're wearing something you're particularly proud of making, please do visit the Knit Mastery photo booth in the Baron Room, which is next to the Cathy Seaton area. And here you will meet Cathy of Stitch Mastery fame and find out about her new app called Stitch Knit Mastery, and have your photo taken by one of our photographers in front of what might be the world's biggest knitting chart. Edinburgh Yarn Festival are on Facebook and Instagram as Edin Yarn Fest, and have been posting previews of what the exhibitors are bringing to the marketplace this weekend. Check out the photos and posts if you want a bit of festival inspiration. Thank you, Joe and Mika. Can't tell you how excited I am, but I think you're kind of gauging this. This episode, again, is heavily influenced by the very impending, not doom, but delight of the Edinburgh Yarn Festival. So hopefully you'll get excited too, even if you can't make it, because maybe you're in a different country. So just join the Louisey train and we'll choo-choo it round Edinburgh Yarn Fest. We random hellos are to Pipney Jane, Thistle Ridge Farm, Marta Schmarta, Poke the Goblin, Higgy Thump, FK Strick, and Louise Tilbrook. Just because.
What's the crack, Citrin?
What's the crack? The last couple of episodes have seen me suggest that you might want to start your own podcast as part of the Edinburgh Yarn Festival weekend podcast lounge, where I shall be. And lo and behold, we've got one going and two in the seriously thinking about it stage. I was delighted to listen to TJ Frog's episode 1 the other day whilst I chopped half a trailer of logs. And I'm doing this, I've still got the rest of the trailer to do. Maybe the other two could just publish an episode and then I could chop to my heart's content listening. I'm selfish that way. Anyway, I met Tanya last year when she came to my retreat. Well, actually, I met her in Edinburgh first, but she came up to my retreat and, it was just like having her in the room. She's just really natural at our podcast. I bet you didn't see it that way, Tanya. She's very modest. Honest, she is. But it was a brilliant first episode. Far too good. And long may they continue. I can't wait to see you at Edinburgh Yarn Festival next week. And she'll be in the area where the Teapot Trust are. But she is having her stand, so do go hunt her out. Because I certainly will. Her stuff sounds amazing. In fact, let's go as a gang round there. And all hug Tanya. She'll hate, but then we can all look at the Dorset buttons and the kits, and hopefully she's got her own range of yarns. I don't know whether she said she was going to take them if they're going to be ready, but it just sounds lovely. Anyway, sorry, just yarn fumes. In the last episode I mentioned that I received a lovely gift shawl from Beast Chops, and at the time I couldn't remember the pattern. It's a shawlette using one skein by Justnia Lorowska, sorry if I've butchered that, and the shawl's called Close to You, and it's very, very nice. And it's quite similar in the way to the Knit Your Love asymmetrical shawlette by Martina Behm, but it's got a different edge, obviously different, slightly shorter as well. But it was just absolutely lovely, and so many compliments. It's not fair, I didn't even knit it myself. But I can see, I've got a listener that sent me this. Isn't it lovely? She's got a lovely pair of hands. Oh, you've got a listener? Yes. I've got kind listeners. And it just makes me feel loved. Oh, I'm fiddling with my cowl just now. Whilst I do that. Okay, retreat. For you retreat attendees going to Edinburgh Yarn Fest, I will be having a to the flag. Well, I'm the flag. On Saturday lunchtime, when the podcast meetup is in between 1 and 2 in the podcast lounge, because I know that for certain that I will be there. And hopefully you who are rushing back and forward from classes can come in and meet everybody else that's going, and if not, flag me down at some point, because I will be there from the Friday afternoon through until the Saturday, and I'll be swanning around. But make yourself known to me, I'll give you a hug and possibly introduce you to the other attendees. The full value has been paid to Natural Retreats now, and I am in the background doing things that involves ordering things online. I like this bit very much because I'm spending money and I get things in the post that are nice. Granted, I'm not actually keeping them, but I'll have forgotten that by then and it doesn't matter. So the next thing I want to do is make a prototype of the thing that will be in the goodie bag and then order in the things to make it if the prototype goes fine. And it's all fine. All fine. Much expectations coming on. I was actually at John Groats today and it was resplendent in the sunshine. Wish I'd taken a photograph, actually. I was too busy talking. But I had coffee today. In fact, I've had two. Can you tell, listeners?
The swap section.
Swap. Lucky seven swap. To mark my 7th year of podcasting, I know, I'm opening up a swap for Lucky Seven. Well, actually, it is open now. You have to send 7 items to your swappee. And they can be anything crafty, but do try and find stuff that your swappee likes. For instance, if they crochet, don't send them a knitting pattern. And if they knit, don't send them a crochet pattern, if you see what I mean. I'm pretty sure everybody would love some yarn, possibly a notion bag or notions or sweeties or chocolate or tea or cake. But the price limit for this is between £17 and £37. Please sign up for the 7th of March and post by the 7th of April. And if you sign up for it, I will do a wee raffle draw for a winner for something from me. So what's not to lose there and what's not to love? 7!
Coming up, it's there.
Coming up. Well, obviously, it is all about Edinburgh Yarn Fest being the 10th and the 11th of March at the Corn Exchange in Edinburgh. And there is a manner of workshops and stall holders, and it must be absolutely manic in the Edinburgh Yarn Fest headquarters this weekend. But do you know, I sent them an email regarding the sponsorship message script, what they wanted to say, came back straight away. So whilst I think they might be manic, I think they're actually really, really well organised, and hence it's such a positive, well organised, really good event, and I'm so looking forward to it. So I'll be driving down the A9, and still the plan, Friday morning. I haven't yet got Richard to decide that it would be a good idea for me to drive down on the Thursday night, you know. You know when they decide that it's a good idea for you to do something that you think is a good idea in the first place? All that. We haven't had that conversation yet. Hopefully we will. So if I'm not there by lunchtime on Friday, we didn't have that conversation, but I only really have missed 2 hours, so it'll be fine. The only problem I'll be having is parking. all that way and I have to panic about reverse parking. You could all stand outside and laugh. Anyway, back to coming up. It's not about me, it's about the Edinburgh Yarn Fest. So you will find me in the podcast lounge, mostly. But I will be floating about the marketplace, drooling, breathing in yarn fumes, panicking about what I should have bought, running out of money, just looking at all this stuff. Oh. Now I'm possibly going to follow my line that I've drawn on my Wool Tribe book. I haven't actually drawn on it yet. But I could print off a map from the Edinburgh Yarn Fest website and do that, because then that would save my book. They wouldn't. That's a good idea, listeners. You too could do that and just draw your line. You could use red pen if you're artistic. You could do a little footprints, like pretend you were a little puppy or cat or monkey. And then you could just go all mental and just go, I'm just going to go everywhere anyway and buy everything. Anyway. As I mentioned, I will definitely be at the podcaster meetup at the lunchtime on Saturday. And in the afternoon at 2, I will definitely be on the audio podcaster panel, and you will get to ask myself, Louise Scully, Helen Stewart of Curious Handmade and Yarn in the City, Alison and Rachel questions. Louise Scully has organised that you too can be podcasters for both these, and you can go record a wee podcast of your own. And it can either be video podcast or audio podcast. And you can do either both days. Well, what I've got is there seems to be a shift in audio podcasts to video casts. So I think maybe there could be a space in the audio world for you. I mean, there's loads of space in the video casts too. And you are your unique selling point, so why not? If you can use an adjective, go in for the audio. And if you are brilliant at showing things to a camera and getting it to focus, go for video. Whatever you're comfortable with. Now remember, UK podcasters, you all have amazing accents. It is lovely to hear from all over the country. And I mean, this isn't absolutely stuck to the UK. All around the world, if you're coming to Edinburgh or you're just listening to this over in wherever and you think, I don't think there's a podcast from here. And I could do that because that's how I started. There wasn't a textile artist podcast. In fact, I don't think there is still. And I don't think I sometimes do textile art enough to count myself as a textile artist podcast only. So I'm a craft podcast. So you could be anything you want to be a podcast. There is podcasts for everything out there. And if you fancy doing it, just come along if you're there to start up. If not, Louise has written a blog and there's some handy tips in there to go and have a look at. And if you subscribe to any of the Edinburgh Yarn Fest social media pages, you will be totally and utterly ruined for what to spend your money on. Right, moving on.
The Keith Nace
section. Or the Keith Nace segment. We've not had one of these for a long time. And Ella requested it, so Ella said, and it's come back. I agree, Ella. This is going to usually be for once a month. On the half term, a couple weeks ago, the Bairns and I and Richard didn't go anywhere, but I had been wanting to go and explore some of the Caithness recent and ancient history sites. So it was a reasonable day, and we packed a packed lunch and headed south to Wick, 8 miles. And we headed south of Wick on the east coast, 8 miles, to a small place called Ulbster. And we went to the Waligo Steps, which is not St. Mark on the winter months. In the summer months, there's a cafe at the very end house and it has a signpost out on the A99, but other times you kind of need to know where you're going. And you can't take a dog. Well, you can, but it's not recommended. Now, Waligo is a gio and it's an inlet. And it was a man-made staircase down the cliffside to a natural harbour, which was a very popular fishing area in the 1800s. It was first looked at by Thomas Telford back in 17... There were 365 steps, but now over time there are 330. And they've got 6 bends in that steepness staircase down and up. They are maintained by volunteers and it is a reasonable repair, but you should only attempt it if you are able. It's not for those less able, let's say. Back in the day, the boats would fish in and out the harbours and the fisher wives and girls would go up gut and sort and then take the catch in baskets back up the steps up the cliff and walk them into the market at Wick. And they do this barefoot, carrying their boots around their neck. And then they put their boots or shoes on at the cemetery of Wick, which is on the south entrance to the town. Imagine 8 miles walking into a town in bare feet with stinky fish dripping down your back, even though you'd be wearing an apron. In the Great Tapestry of Scotland, the Caithness panel that I worked on had a lady carrying her basket of fish into town. Now, Catherine stitched her and she called her Chanet, which is the Caithness dialect for Janet. After walking back slowly up the steps with no fish basket on my back, I had a wee moment to reflect and think, wow, those were hardy folk back in the day. So then the Bairns and Richard and I got back into the car, and Buchel was most disgruntled because he wasn't allowed out at that time. But then we went over to the Cairn of Gate, which is on a road directly opposite the Waligo Steps Road. Again, the mile up to the cairn is not for the unfit or less able, and it certainly requires sturdy footwear. And at one point you walk over wooden paths over a fairy bog. There's definitely fairies that live there. So I got to tell Daisy, Princess Daisy and the Fairy stories. This is a chambered cairn from 5,000 years ago, and it's where they buried their dead. It's a nice spot, actually, and it's a lovely view down to the sea. And in the cairn itself, it was actually quite nice and sheltered from the wind, if you forgot that there had been dead bodies buried there long ago. There was no roof to this cairn, and you could get in and out of easily and have a good feel for the building of it and how they made it. Thankfully, it was fully excavated, and no skeletons found by a rampaging hunt horde. Nearby, you can carry on and look at old things. There was an old dam, and up on the hill part, there was a hill fort for more recent times. And the area itself is certainly well worth the walk in and out if you have the time. You have to keep your dog on a lead where there is livestock about. The wee lochan that we parked at was really pretty, and it used to be a flooded old quarry. That's where we had our packed lunch. We then drove down the coast about a mile to the Hill of Many Stains, and the Stains is a stone, Hill of Many Stones. This is really worth going to because you can park right beside it, or well along a little bit if you have awkward tourists parked in the middle of the stopping area, as I remember poor Louise of Knit British did. It's about 50 metres from the entrance, and it's much better to come to, and whilst it suggests you want good footwear, I was okay with trainers on this time. And this is really, it's just a big field on a slight slope, and it's aged from 3,000 to 4,000 years ago. There are at least 192 flagstones set on their sides, so they stand up in a fan shape of 22 rows of standing stones. They think it might be a monument to ancestors, but we might never know. I found it absolutely amazing to think that that field of stains has stood like that, untouched for 3,000 to 4,000 years. It reminded me of Tom Sawyer's stalactite drip, drip, dripping away for us human insects. After that, we had a bit of drive up to Camster Cairns, which is an absolute gem that you really must look out for if you're in the history element in Caithness. These are two long cairns set out about 500 metres from the road, and you have to walk along wooden paths across more fairy bogs. There's quite a lot of fairies in Caithness. There's two of the best preserved chambered cairns in the British Isles, and these ones have roofs. They do have gates, but that's to discourage any livestock from going in and making mess, but they are very easily open for mammals with opposing thumbs. And you can access both cairns, and the longest cairn has two chambers, one being very low, and I was on my hands and knees, and therefore you have to wear scabby trousers because you're going to crawl on your hands and knees to get in. Or if you're a child, you can just walk in. Or a dog, you can just scuttle in, pushing it past your master. You can get into these okay, but you won't be able to get into them if you're unable to do the whole crawling thing or bending over quite easily. Pretend there is a big yarn stash and they're waiting for you. The wee tunnels are about 5 metres long and dark, but in the chambers there are skylights and it's fine when you get there and for turning back. The chambers were there for burying their chiefs and they were buried with weapons and offerings. Do you know, I was trying to imagine being... going in there after all the years and then they were excavated and finding the skeletons and weapons, and this would have been mostly in the dark. Oh, scary monsters. The bairns absolutely loved these cairns though. So it was great because then it hailed, chucked it down, and we ran back to the car and we went home for hot chocolate and a change of clothes. The day after we went to Achnaharis Quarry, where they found lots and lots of fossils, and it's over in the middle of the county, and it's worth a trek up as well. They've got a wee hut and it's all Caithness flagstone, and it tells you about the different time periods of the wee geology of the area was settled. So we had the Bairns fossil hunting, which is quite good fun. And I've got photos on Instagram of our adventures there. For all the sites that we visited, none of them cost anything to go and see and go into, and they have information panels up at them, barring the Wallygo Steps, and the Neolithic ones are cared for by Scottish Natural Heritage. But the Wallygo Steps, if you go there in the summer and you go into the Cathay, they're quite knowledgeable about that and they'll tell you the history of it too. They're very understated, well, all of them are, but very open. And as long as you are able to get into them and you are able, as in walking and happy about going through boggy bits. If you had to do just one, I would say go to the Hill of Many Stains, because who doesn't like running around a field full of standing stones that have been there for centuries and it's just beside the road? And if you can, go crawl into Campster, and if you can climb, go to Waligo. And if you want an adventure with fairy stories, go to the Cairn of Gate. So basically just do all of them if you can.
The beaker section.
Me section. Planning for Edinburgh. Now, I have no idea what I'm going to go and buy after seeing all the luscious goodies being shown. I had a look at the schedule in my Wheel Tribe book and thought, aha, I shall make a cunning plan and fool all the foxes. And then they kept tweeting and Facebooking and emailing out vendor information. Oh, I'm tempted for the used yarn kits. I definitely want some Dorset buttons from TG Frog. I want a mini skein kit from anybody, because it's colourful. I want a dress's worth of Aran from Jameson of Shetland, but I'm maybe a little bit more limited in my spending spree than last year. Plus, you know, I still have a fair chunk left from last year, so I feel a little bit guilty about not using it all. And then not to mention the stash I had plans for already. What I've done is go to my library and see what I really want to make, but I don't have the yarn for. And I'm going to make one considered bulk purchase of the Jamesons for the cable knitted dress for Woman Ocean. And this is by Kayoko Nakayosh, firstly, which I've had for quite a while, this pattern. And then I'm going to go and look at my tools and see what I could do with for more of sizes. That's probably going to involve sitting down, getting organised with needles and crochet hooks. And it's quite a good way of tidying up your notion pouches as well. I also thought, well, I could purchase a pattern or two, or maybe a book. And if the little grey girl still has them, which I think she does, the wee notions pouch with the notions in, because they're so cute. And I wanted one last year. Yeah. I think it was Hannah that came over and says, oh, look, I've got this. I said, oh, I want them. And then she says, but she's gone and left. And it made it worse. And I've been a whole year thinking, will I order one? No, I'll get one in Edinburgh. Well, I ordered one. Oh, look how she does her zips. Oh, look. Oh, it's so nice. It's so nice. I like her material. So I think I'm going to treat myself to one. I'm also probably going to let myself fall over and get maybe two pretty colours in something that I don't have, or a mini skein set in, say, tonal black, tonal colours. And I'll also try not to get overcome by yarn fumes, which I'll probably fail miserably at. I'm so tempted by kits this year, ready made up, because then the pattern and the right amount of yarn, it's already there. That leads into the knitting for the past fortnight. I was thinking I was going to have not much to tell you this episode, because I have been knitting like a complete demon until Tuesday, when it stopped, on my new wool cardigan by Cecily Clark MacDonald. And I was thinking more and more, oh, I'm going to really struggle to get this finished. And I really want my cardigan to wear, because it gets hot in the hall and it's too cold outside not to have that in a jacket, but you want to leave your jacket and I want a cardigan. And this is my Blacker Podcal garment using Blacker West Country Tweed. I was knitting all hours, avoiding things like housework, feeding children, just basically doing anything I wasn't supposed to be doing in the house. And then I went for another ball of yarn once I got to the bit where I increased to add the pocket detail, and I thought, where's the rest of the yarn? I've only got two balls left. I've not finished the body, I've not started the sleeves, and I've got a neckline to do. So I put it down. And I'm actually in the huff. See, that's me sitting with my back to it, my arms crossed, a furrowed brow, and I'm 11 again. Stamp my foot. I mean, I might yet have a few balls rolled into other bags, but I honestly don't think so, because it was all caped in the big brown paper bag that I was got with my Blacker yarn purchases. So I'm going to quickly take advantage of the discount code that Blacker set up before the event, but I will not now be able to qualify for the discount on the day. Although I actually reread the information and I was supposed to be finished by tomorrow. So I wouldn't have managed to do it anyway. Wheelie, wheelie, wheelie. More wheelie. I need some more wheelie, 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 wheelie. However, if you have finished your Blatter podcast, it should be done by Saturday the 4th of March, which is tomorrow. So you must put it onto the Blatter Ravelry board threads to qualify for your discount. And Blatter are going to launch a new yarn range called Samite, which I think is going to be rather nice. I'm going to get to play with it and I'll give you a review once I've had my hands on it and had a wee play, as they're handing it over at the Edinburgh Yarn Fest. Hooray. Oh, that reminds me, I need to do my business cards and get them rush ordered. Oh. Now, I'm going to carry on knitting with the cardigan, though, as I'm not all that far off it now. But maybe a wee break will be just the ticket, because then I'm going to be over the bridge of hump that I seem to get 60% in and get grumpy with things. And I am not in love with the way that this pattern is written. I'll say that again. I am not in love with it. I know it's out an ebook of a set of patterns, but there are some abbreviations that must be in another part of the ebook, which is not in my pattern. And I think that's a shame. If you offer patterns separately from an ebook collection, then there should still be a key available for all patterns. But hopefully it'll be clear when I Dr. Google the abbreviation. I did finish last Thursday my pussy hat from Cat Coil, and I used African Expression Aran in a salmon pink with a size 5mm needle. And I did it as the pattern suggested, knit it flat from end to end and then mattress seamed the sides. The yarn is nice and soft, the pattern very, very easy to follow, and I really like the way that she's got drawing on the PDF and everything it stands for politically. Oh, I've got another few listeners. Fly away, Stanley, be free! And I managed to knit on this in lots of places because it was a small portable project and quite a few comments. You can knit without looking. That's a bonny colour. Yes, I can rib too, but I try not to. And then I look down. Ah! I'd wrap the yarn around twice in the bottom stitch from the row that I was on. And when I freed the extra loop or whatever I'd done, there's a slight hole there. But it's grand, as I can tell which is the front and which is the back. The hole goes at the back. And I've not worn it an awful lot because when I did, it's not windproof and it's been quite windy. And I like my head warm. So it's been demoted to the cold but not windy mornings. And it's a really, really bonny bright colour for the grey spring days. And it was nice to have a finished object too. And I wore it today. And my favourite thing about it is the shadow it creates. I pretend I'm Batgirl. Pew pew! We went to see Lego Batman. Pew pew! What I did do was have a wee panic to myself about having something to knit on when I'm at Edinburgh Yarn Fest. Did I mention I'm going to Edinburgh Yarn Fest next week? Because we will, of course, have to have something in our hands and knit. And I recently ripped out a sock, but I don't feel like I want to cast it back on. I need something that has no pattern, as there won't be much looking down to check or count, and there will be too much, ooh, look at that, oh, look what she's wearing, or look what he's doing, look at that jumper, look at that shawl, oh, new acquisitions going on. I mentioned last episode I was wanting to start my Travelling Woman shawl by Liz Abinanti, using my dark navy, almost black but not quite, merino cashmere nylon, which I wound one night when I was waiting on my dinner cooking. It was nice and soft, and it glided through my fingers in comparison to the West Country Tweed, which is Teeswater or Romney Shetland Cross with a wee bit of Black Welsh Mountain, which is exactly what I want for my cardigan, but it's not merino soft when gliding through fingers, but I don't want that for a cardigan. And it knits like a proper grown-up cardigan should, and it is soft and pliable when knitted, but not in a merino cashmere type of way. Anyway, I found the beads that I wanted to go with the yarn, and they were in a Notions box down in my Notions bag where they should be. Yeah, it took me quite a while to find them. And then I thought, hold on, do I want this pattern? Or I've got Fireflies Rising by Helen Stewart. As I actually saw Fireflies Rising on holiday when I bought this yarn, and then the lovely, I could just keep her in my other pocket, Nocturnal Knit or Gale made me a big project bag with fireflies on. I then thought, where am I going to place the beads and how easy is this going to be to get started and set up for Edinburgh? And the Fireflies has won the day on this. The beads are square and they're about five different colours in blues, purples and pink, and I sat and counted them out into wee sets. Then I looked at the pattern and figured where I'll have the colours going from light to dark down the lace part, and I should have enough. When I was doing this, my lovely husband appeared out of nowhere. And as I was counting, 18, 19, 20, he started with 35, 36, 42, 65, 72, 78. I was stamping my foot. And in the end, I told him to do it. And he counted them when I was dishing up dinner. And I do have enough. Hurry. I have a photo of him doing it too. I've just printed out the pattern, but I have it on my phone too for setup. Helen has written the pattern, like many of other patterns, in the percentage style, which is grand for you to keep going and you can tick off. One thing I possibly would have liked is a chart for my lace, but I'm sure I'll get on just fine when I actually get to the lace. I mean, it's very well written down. I'm not doing this to be all smoochy with Helen when I see her in Edinburgh. I just quite like the serendipity of the Fireflies in yarn because it reminds me of Nora and Gail and all my twin set summer camp friends as the Fireflies rose, and I thought, something's wrong with my eyes. Speaking of eyes, I have new glasses. I got varifocals and I'm getting used to them very slowly. I really like the new frames I got because I hated the last pair, but this pair, I don't like the lenses yet. So that was it for all things knitting. More than I expected to actually tell you. Sewing. I had bought a jelly roll in creams and white colours from Cotton Patch, and this is for a lap quilt for someone important to me who's going through a tough time. And I finished it and sent it to her. It was putting on the binding when we last spoke. Well, I sat and I sewed the back of the binding on, and as it was whites and cream, I was putting myself in the furthest away seat I could get from two children's, three dogs and two in-laws in the sitting room and a husband. To which they all migrated towards me one by one, and my mother-in-law automatically handled it because she's a crafter. To a firm reminder that it's cream and she better have very clean hands. That quilt had not seen anyone else's hands and I wasn't about to get one mark on it. Anyway, I posted it toot sweet, and I got there as well some news that was given, and we've got 3 month journey of support coming up. I'll get on with making the cushion too, and it can give some more comfort because I think it would be appreciated. And my recipient is very, very craft worthy. The fact they're that craft worthy, they get creams and whites, which scare me because I think I'm going to bleed all over them. At Textile Artist this Tuesday, it was the complete opposite. We were dyeing fabric and it was, oh, wonderful. So messy. Well, no, actually it wasn't. The last time we did this, we didn't do it exactly unto the book. And you know what, listeners? I quite like it that way because I feel that I can learn from it because I'm not then daunted that, oh, it has to be exact. But now I know I will get results even if we didn't do it exactly. But this time Anne was there and she was a chemist before she retired. And she hadn't actually done any dyeing with us before. So she talked us through exactly, and we had the book open. And once I'd gotten over the fear, I was actually quite happy and it worked out really wonderfully. I had no cross-contamination as I sometimes have had before, and my colours are just heart-singing. I could la-la-la, oh no, moonlight this. I've not actually seen moonlight, but everyone, well done everyone. You're all winners to me. Have a participation badge. I had some lengths of white cotton sort of cut to width for the inside of the project bags, which I've dyed raspberry, lime, turquoise, lemon yellow and royal blue. Albeit the lemon yellow didn't actually come out as vibrant as I think, so maybe my cross-contamination was a lie. I told a false news there. I apologise. I was also handed some white crochet cotton to dye too, which went into the bags as we were using freezer bags in a cat litter tray. And it was the least messy that I've ever been when dyeing. I didn't get anything on myself, which is very unusual because I've come away once with a blue nose. I threw the lot in the washing machine the day after and my crochet thread got tangled up. But it was quite cathartic sitting untangling it. We've had a few unexpected departures and other people with news that we have to support them through the past fortnight. So a bit of mindless untangling is welcome. I'm lost in after knitting lace, but my mind is elsewhere. It's in the daffodils coming up, and the snowdrops nodding their pristine heads, the promise of lambs to come, and buds on the apple tree. Mum's birthday was on Wednesday, and on Monday it occurred to me I had to make her a birthday card, and make a good one. I have been buying a lot of cards for my friend Sarah, who is a Phoenix independent card trader, as their cards are lovely. They have a huge range, and if you buy 10, you get them at £1.40 a card. And do you know, between a couple of birthdays, anniversaries, thank you, get well soon, sympathy card or two, you'd be pushed not to order 10. I really like their advent calendars as well. Anyway, a while back I'd offered Mum a look at what I was ordering, and she looked down her glasses at me and said she didn't want a bulk card from me, so all my cards to Mum have to be homemade, and quality ones at that. I'm still a wee lassie when my mum tells me to do certain things. Yes, Mum. I was having a rake around and I was going to try foundation piecing, but I didn't understand the instructions, so I've put it aside, and I'll take it into textile artists next week and ask them. But when I was putting it aside, I found a bag of bits of very open, even weave fabric and a huge handful of strips of ends of fabrics and tiny snips of voile. And I thought, how am I going to do this? Right, just go for it, don't think. So I set my machine to zigzag and I held a strip onto the even weave and I just kept filling up this wee square. And it was only, say, 4 inches by 4, and I didn't use pins, and if it went a bit squint, then it was meant to be squint. I couldn't be bothered changing the top thread, so I changed the bobbin because it was quicker, and I turned it over once I'd covered the whole piece with strips of fabric, and then I did a few different types of zigzag stitch, and I gave the bobbin thread colour, not the top thread colour, and achieved a very abstract piece. It was then mounted onto a plain white card, rubber stamped, a greeting, and voila! So I went downstairs, showed Daisy, who ran upstairs and made a much better card that has completely outshone mine for imagination and originality. She has some pattern card that had knitting fabric pattern on it, and then she made a face with buttons for eyes. She coloured in the hair, she put lace for the mouth with extra buttons, and for the nose she used a seashell, and it was absolutely brilliant. Just brilliant. I don't mind being outshone by an 8-year-old. Mum was delighted with it, although she did have a good nose at mine. I know she was being polite, and I could have just given her a Phoenix card at the time. But later, no, I would have got told off, but at the time, it was all about Daisy's card. So this is a good way to use up a pile of scraps. You don't need Aida even weave, just a square of fabric that can be sewn through. I was kind of covering them with the bits of chiffon shears once the strips had been put on and you hold them down. You could as well put a few bits together that are too small, and then you pin a piece of chiffon over the top, and then you sew through the 3 layers, avoiding pins as you sew. And if you keep the pieces smallish, you can mount them onto cards, or you could mount them onto a canvas in sets of 4 or 6 or more, and if you want to keep them, or you could put them into a book. I'm thinking of putting them into just a wee notebook, and then also a book to record my tension squares as I'm building up a pile of them. I've already got a book with my spinning, with the spinning teacher at the time encouraged us to do, for when it was spun, how it was, how long it was, how much fibre, what it was, how it was spun, how the wheel was set up, and then a 6-inch piece stuck onto it. And it's just a notebook, and it's been an invaluable piece of information for going back to for hand spun years later, for how much there was of how and what it was. And hand spun doesn't come with a big label, does it? It is in essence a big label, but it's kept in a book, and I'm more likely to know where the book is as to pose a label. So I was thinking that putting my tension squares in order will start to build up a picture of my knitting and how my tension is averaging out across yarns. Plus, it will be a touchy-feely Ravelry page. And because I have a few tension squares left over from projects, I don't know what to do with them, and I don't really want to chuck them out. So I think putting them there at the start of a project will tidy things up, and also I'll have a drop of yarn left at the end, just in case you need to sew up an underarm or a button or something, and you've given the rest of the yarn away. Yesterday was World Book Day for the bairns. They had a whole pile of things to encourage them to read books, and they were allowed to dress up with their favourite book characters. Thankfully, the bairns took the lead with the costumes on Tuesday, and they both had plans of who they were going to be and how they were going to make them, because they know mummy's no use at making costumes. Sandy was Percy Jackson and was pretty simple, with a cardboard sword and trident and drew onto a t-shirt. Daisy decided she wanted to be Wagner the Owl from the David Walliams book Awful Auntie, and she made a cardboard box for its head, and it was brilliant, and some wings as well. I then looked out onto Pinterest for her t-shirt and feathers. Ugh. I thought, oh, this is good, this won't take long. We spent an hour and a half just cutting out ovals and then sewing them onto a white t-shirt. I was a letdown to last-minute mummies everywhere. I had the costumes ready in plenty of time. But it worked out really, really well. And even if you don't get exactly what you see on Pinterest, sometimes it just helps you in the right direction. And I was really proud of both of them. Now, I was at sewing day yesterday, and whilst there was only eight, well, it was actually a good number, but the other six were away at the Glasgow Hobbycraft Show this weekend. And Juliana won a gold ribbon for her winter quilt, which is outstanding. I'm very proud of her. So if any of you see that there, you will agree. To see that us up north were a little jealous of those down south spending money and enjoying themselves is not an understatement. I spent the day cutting out, and then I started to sew together some tartan project bags for the shop. Two Fraser, two Black Watch, and two random red tartan, I'm not sure of what clan yet. Liz had along a box, and out this box, she said she hadn't opened it in, I'm pretty sure she said she bought it 12 years ago. And it was an overlocker, or a serger. And it was a brother. She's never had it out the box, and she said she has no interest in it and was going to sell it if they could get it to work. So Celia and Helen pounced on it because they both have one and can use them, and are also very friendly and helpful that way. In fact, the whole group are very helpful, and if you want assistance with anything sewing, then they are the people to ask, as they will help you in a non-evasive, non-patronising way. It might not be the correct way, but they've all been sewing longer than I've been alive, basically, so I like to listen and hear at the same time. So by the time I left, Celia was rethreading it, had it almost working, and I tentatively agreed to buy it. Celia says it's a really, really good machine, but obviously I'd like to see it working properly first before buying it. And it would certainly assist me when I'm doing dressmaking, and in fact encourage me to dressmake. Zigzag the edges on the tartan anyway to keep them from fraying, so if I have it set to whiz round with the overlocker, then it would be even more professional than they are now. I'm very conscious of the bags not fraying around the drawstring area of the bag, so I'll let you know what happens with this machine. Drams. Now, if you're not into the drinking or the shopping, then thank you for listening. I'll catch you next episode, because there's only the shoppy section and blah 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 stuff after it. But if you are into the drinking, stay tuned. This episode sees Richard and I drink lots of different malt whiskies. Well, three. And it's from New Year's Eve, which is a while ago now, and we might have even had quiche for tea. Now, I'm going to cut the whole thing in half, because we were given six whiskies well before Christmas to do a blind tasting. And the whole thing is over an hour and 10 minutes. And I've got the first three down to 24 minutes.
We're drumming again. A lot. We're drumming. I hope you like drumming too.
Well, listeners, don't know how this one's going to go. Welcome into this extra episode of The Drams.
A special feature.
Dun, 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 dun. So, Richard, explain this one.
Right. My gaffer, my boss at my work, he is a whisky collector and connoisseur, I think. He thinks he is, anyway.
I'm sure he is.
He is. No, I've got no reason to disbelieve that. And he's quite a kind of soul, because what he's done, when I explained to him what we were doing with the drams and how we are very amateur and sort of just play it.
You testing. Like it that way, listeners, don't you?
He goes to testings and he goes to auctions and sales and all sorts. And wow. He's got like barrels, he's bought like casks and stuff.
Very cool.
Like in the aged, and you get so many bottled every so many years and stuff. It's well beyond the level that I understand. And I expect I'll send him the link to this and let him hear it. And
we're in awe of you.
Probably mock us immensely. His name's Stuart Gunn. So, and I can't be too nice to him because you'll think I'm after something. So I'm always having to keep the straight face at work.
Mm-hmm.
Play the sensible person.
Yes.
Right, so...
Work Richard is very sensible.
Yeah, but he's not here just now because it's New Year's Eve.
It is. Hogmanay.
Hogmanay. There's children running about.
Yeah, it's only 9 o'clock.
So this is our early dram something. So what we have here is six...
What we have here, Lucas?
What we got here, Lucas, is a failure... To communicate. I wish you wouldn't be so good to me, boss.
Name the film.
Right. So we got six miniature, clear glass miniature dram, I suppose it could be called doubles, drams.
And they're in little Kilner bottles with fancy tops.
And they're numbered 1 to 6. And we have an envelope mm-hmm. with folded paper in it, which details what they are, where they're from, the age, the approximate cost. He says there's a whole range, so I expect I'll be sort of cooking whiskey
mm-hmm.
all the way through to sort of
connoisseur fancy
expensive
stuff.
Fancy stuff.
Oh, where that worthy.
So, and we have no idea which one's which. So what we'll do is we'll have a wee dram in each one, just a wee one. Bickle's barking at the outside. And then we'll try and detail the nose, the palate, the aftertaste, the colour.
And if we'd buy it.
And then, once we're done, we'll look up what they are,
mm-hmm.
see how far wrong we are. I'm expecting far, far
wrong. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then ideally we'll pause this and I'll go and look up and see what it says about them on the internet.
Aye, we'll do that.
Right.
The only thing is, we've only got two glasses. If we were doing this proper tasting, would we not have a fresh glass?
Oh, and cheese and everything.
Well, there's cheese in the fridge.
That's okay. Well, we'll just make sure that we soak the insides of it off.
Okay. Right.
I'm not washing out dregs. No chance.
No, that's true.
What we could do is get like the dregs from each one and then we could have our own blend.
Oh!
We could name it.
Hogmanay blend.
Well, I don't know. I'd name mine after Quattro.
Quattro Hogmanay blend.
Yeah. New Year's Quattro.
Aww.
Right. So we're just going to start number one through to number six. Is that
Yeah.
Right, so what we can do is there's a lot of things we can't do here. Obviously, there's no box and
the bottles are all the
cork
same.
And the bottles are all the same. So what we've got here is the colour of the first one.
That is very Barbie here.
I don't like seeing this, but it's kind of urine coloured.
Well, no, that's what we refer to as Barbie here, Richard.
Oh yeah, I know. I hope the trick's not in us.
Oh no! Maybe it's an infection because it's
very, very clear. So,
yeah.
Right. First of all, where's the very clear ones from? Some of them is right in the very south, isn't it?
I was going to say Speyside.
Speyside clear.
I don't know.
That's really clear. Right. So we'll open it up and we'll pour.
We'll have to smell it and pour.
Pour and smell.
Mm-hmm.
You say pour and smell, I say smell and put whatever.
You say potato, I say potato. Let's call the whole thing off. Sorry, listeners, I'm singing there.
Nice. Not
even had
really
a drink.
Nice.
Gee, there's
not
very much in that.
I'll give you a bit more then.
Oh, mind you, we've got a whole pile
we've
more.
We've got six to do. So.
Oh, it's empty. Listeners, I'm feeling in shock. Right.
Oh, there is drinks in that. Okay, we can make a blend. Right. So, colour.
Colour. Very, Barbie. Very Barbie, light Barbie here. Light Barbie here. She's been on holiday. She's had the lemon juice in her hair and it's bleach blonde.
And for the benefit of Stuart, who I'm going to send a link to, you better explain the colouring matrix that we have. Very
we have a
technical.
Colour matrix. Yeah, it's really technical, Stuart. You're going to be absolutely beside yourself with how amazingly technical it is. Okay, so if you're thinking very light, think Barbie here. And we're talking bleach blonde Barbie. Middle colour is Winnie the Pooh. In his nice orange state. We're thinking Disney animation Winnie the Pooh here. And then the darker ones, Chewbacca from Star Wars. So there you go. And then it's variations in between it.
Right, well, I've had this before.
Have you?
Oh, it smells very, very familiar.
It's got that smell like the Tavern of Ullin had the other night. Oh, listeners, in between times, we finished the Tavern of Ullin the other night. But in your land, that was weeks ago.
So I'm getting very, very delicate flowers.
Yeah, it's light, it's...
I'm just going to jot some of this down. Flowers.
He's better at this light. Kind of stuff. It smells like whiskey, listeners. Kind of that...
sweet, kind of honeyish, almost a honeyish kind of tinge to it. There's no nuts, I'm not getting any fruit.
It's no heavy at all.
No, right, so no nuts, no, a bit of honey. Right, so we swirl.
We swirl, see
look
how
that,
it goes
look
down.
That.
It's nice and thick.
Oh my word.
Oh! Right. It's not coming down the glass too fast.
So you're right on the space side?
I honestly have no idea. You're supposed to put water in it.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm so excited.
This is just really
this
cool.
This is like...
Is he expecting us to do that back to him?
He's never mentioned it.
I'm that sure. Might be quite cool. Cause
I've got my bottle of
Wolfsburg. We've got 1, 2, 3 up there.
Yeah.
And then we could do... Oh, I know what we could do for the fourth one. See how we've still got a jar of pickled onions up there?
Oh, no.
Put the pickled onion juice in.
No.
Chewbacca colour.
I got him some Wolfsburg.
You did?
Admittedly, he paid for it, but I still got him.
Sans fat, Stuart.
Stuart, right, yep.
It doesn't change smell when you put water in it.
Oh, that's sharp. No, that's definitely not what we're drinking tonight.
Well, that needs more water, dear. Please put more water in it.
Quite sharp, that, isn't it?
Yeah, very, very, very sharp.
I think that's an 18, because I normally find 18's quite sharp like that.
Oh, no idea. Oh, 18, my goodness, have we got to choose the years as well?
18 or a 21. It's certainly...
And then there's a wee bit aftershock of something. I think smoke.
Woody, I'm getting a woody taste.
Well, maybe that's it. Because you know how good I'm actually tasting at something that's whiskey, listeners. I'm getting honey. It definitely needs a drop, a good dilp of water in it. It's not an unpleasant drink. It's quite nice with that water in.
I've had that before.
I have no idea. I'm probably having it.
I'm either going to say Speyside or Orkney.
What's Scapa?
Scapa.
It's definitely not Island Park. That's
no,
the only one
no,
I can
no,
tell
no.
the difference from. Could be Scapa. Because I found that one quite sharp.
Mm. I've only had that a couple of times before. I wasn't a massive fan of it, but that's quite nice. I like that.
Very sharp for me.
Aftertaste?
The first time I had it, it was with a lot of burn, and it was kind of that way you get the acetone pear drop. But when you put more water in, must have released more flavour out of it. Get me, Stuart. I obviously know what I'm talking about.
I'm getting a hints of Domestos.
What?
I'm joking. But did you say acetone teardrop?
Slightly, just slightly. But there's definitely like a floral kind of affair going on there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know
yeah,
if
oh, I've got flowers.
Are floral. You getting anything of the sea if you're thinking it's Scapa?
No.
It wouldn't be Wolfsburn and he's just having a laugh, is it?
Quite likely.
Because Wolfsburn was quite...
I don't think it... I've had it before, but I don't think it was Wolfsburn.
It was very light. That's the only thing I'm remembering.
He is of that kind of nature. Mm-hmm. He'll have a laugh.
Write down Wolfsburn then, ? And I remember Wolfsburn being quite sharp, but it was very pleasant. It was much nicer than I was expecting with it being quite a young dram.
Mm.
See, to me, that would have been a young dram until you put more water in.
Right.
Right.
All right, so we're on different opinions, and you think it's young Wolfsburn.
Young Wolfsburn, there is only one Wolfsburn.
And I'm thinking it's a slightly older Speyside or Scapa.
He must be killing himself laughing now.
Right. How do we get the taste? Do we eat some chocolate? Or a bit of fruit? A grape.
Right. Cleanse the palate. Right, listeners, we're going to have to stop and cleanse the palate and do stuff. Back to second.
Okay.
Number two. Some grapes later.
Number two, a couple of grapes. This is great, we're getting our portion of fruit. Okay, number two.
Right, number two. In the bottle, colour. The colour is...
Ooh. Oh, it's slightly darker than a Barbie. It's either a sun tanned.
Winnie the Pooh?
Winnie the Pooh. Light Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh that's had his Christmas bath.
Mm-hmm. and hasn't yet got manky enough.
He's been... No, do you think he's been up in the honey yet?
Well, if he has, he's still there because he hasn't got all clarty and sticky on his way back.
I could just wash him. Right.
Okay, let's open number two.
I feel like making pop noises for the cork. Maybe I will buy number four.
It's a bit more runny up this one, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's leaving nice tracks. Yeah.
But the thing is, we never washed the glasses out, so we can't tell for our honestness.
Don't say that.
Why? They're not going to tell them to Stuart, are they? Shush, listeners, don't tell Stuart.
Honey, straight away.
Oh, wait, what? Honey what?
Honey badger. I don't care.
Scraps.
Ooh, he's nasty. No, it's not nice, it's far from that. It smells lovely.
Oh, right. My pal Mari was here the other day. Her that started the honey badger theme for me, because her friend is Anna Badger. She's a very nice person. And he was like, oh, there's Anna Badger. She don't care. But I handed her the Baron's thank you card for their Christmas present. And I says, oh, I'm sorry, they spelled it with an H for some reason. And she says, oh, it's okay, I'm used to getting it different ways. I says, I know, but they should know better. And I've written it all out for them. Ugh. She says, there is another Mari in her work, but in a different office, who is Mari without an I.
Right. M-H-A-R-A.
I don't know.
I, even.
Well, it's missing an I. So people take it a bit the wrong way. They think it's E-Y-E, and it's the letter I. Mari without an I.
You can speak all you like. I'm just smelling this. It's lovely.
Well, it was funny when we were there. So, sorry, listeners. Stuart's turned off. Oh. Sugar.
Honey and sweetness. I've got honey and sweetness I've written down. So sugar.
I've got sugar and sweeties.
Sweeties. Right. Winnie the Pooh is the colour.
Well, maybe it's the thought process.
No, it's just getting very different from there.
Oh, yeah. Not in a bad way, because the other stuff was actually a pleasant dram.
I feel kind of like Cilla Black here. So do you prefer number one or number two?
No, it's not about preference, but it's about each individual dram. So would you buy that number one dram again?
You put me in the spot there. I've had better, I think.
I didn't mind it when there was a fair drop of water in. If somebody gave me
okay.
that...
It was okay.
I would be more than happy.
But I think there's others I prefer, definitely.
Maybe number two.
I haven't tasted this one yet.
But...
I'll tell you what, number six. I'll be marrying number six by the time we get through.
Yes, Stuart, maybe just two whiskies next time.
Next time? Do you think there's going to be a next time?
I don't know. Maybe he's our new BFF. Stuart, it would be so much cool if he came round and did this at the same time.
Well, I was going to take him round for a cup of tea.
Slange
for that. Right.
Stuart. Doesn't smell any different once it's got water in it. Doesn't taste like what I thought it smells like. Not at all. It's lost its sweetness.
No, I'm getting a nougat-y kind of taste.
Oh, I wouldn't know what that tasted like.
Taste nougat-y.
I'm getting pepper.
Pepper?
But then I'm not very good at this.
No, yeah. It's blind tasting, isn't it? It's good.
Are you getting any honey in this?
The smell was just honey.
Yeah, but the taste is not.
Nougat-y is sweet.
Can maybe I have a bit more water and see if that makes any difference?
Mm-hmm.
Have you any idea what this dram is?
I've none whatsoever.
Is it a Highland Speyside? Don't think it's a island because it doesn't taste at all peaty.
No.
So that's that ruled out.
It's not Northern Isles. I would go for a Highland one over a Speyside one.
Right.
Or even a Lowland one.
Mm-hmm.
Age, I have no concept. So I'm going to go Lowland or Highland. Just leaves the Midlands.
You take the high road and I'll take the
low. I'm going to stick my neck out and go Lowlands.
Okay.
Which narrows it down to about three.
Could even be a blend, remember?
Yes, it could be a blend.
Do you think it is a blend?
No.
Because remember, James McDonald went at the blind tasting and they put out Famous Grouse and nobody got it. This is not Famous Grouse, though.
No, it's too honey. Too honey.
It's not honey in the taste. It's not Talisker. I could do some things that I don't. I know it's not. It's not Old Pulteney. I don't think he would do Old Pulteney. It's too close to home. Would you have that as a supping whiskey?
Oh, yeah.
Would you?
That's the kind of one I'd have after a meal with a cigar.
I think you'd say with a pie. So you just did your meal.
Dalmore.
Is it? See, I didn't like Dalmore much, so it could easy be.
Hmm.
We'll put Dalmore question mark.
Okay.
I think this smells...
See, there's a whole lot of delighted tomatin and all that kind of crowd as well.
I think this smells nicer than it tastes
and
to me.
And you've got the... Yeah, it smells lovely. Very different.
If I could...
I can't really split the taste, but the smell, I could... Very distinctive smell. Dalmore. If it was a Dalmore, it would be one of the sort of...
I haven't done...
Fancy ones.
We haven't done Muir Award one.
You drive by it. I forget the name of it.
Aye, but you kind of taste it by driving past it. Otherwise, the entire north of Scotland would be drunk.
Come on, I'll go for one of the fancy sort of ones that I've done in the... Maybe the... Done in...
Oh, you could have had it in the Huntley Hotel.
Yes, quite likely. But no, one of the ones in the... In the barrels, it's aged in bourbon, maybe.
Sorry, Stuart, I wouldn't buy this one again.
Would you not? I like that one.
Well, he would, but that's fine. Because, you see, there's a jam for everybody.
He's not selling it to us.
No, but he gave it to us. And I'm very grateful he did.
Yeah, I know.
And this is ace fun. I really enjoy myself. But I do feel like I should apologise to him that it's not my chosen dram out of the two so far. Not that we're comparisoning them.
Right.
Which isn't a word.
Just invented a new word. Right. I think we'll invent a few more words by the time this is out. Mm. Right, okay. So, pause for grapes.
Well, pause for grapes. And finishing of...
Okay, so... We've had more grapes.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be fermenting. There'll be wine soon. Okay, so we're going to number three. Number three, what's your name and where do you come from? Anyone that hasn't seen Blind Date will get that top.
Well, my name is...
My name is number three.
Dark Brown.
And I wish I knew where I came from. Right, okay, so we're a little bit darker now, again. So we're going to be a tanned Winnie the Pooh.
Yes, Winnie the Pooh's
or a washed out. Chewbacca.
No, it's not light enough for Chewbacca. It's not dark enough for Chewbacca.
No, okay, so it's a dirty Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, he's been rolling around having fun. Okay. I've already maybe just got caught out in the storms.
Mm-hmm.
He's like the state of our car.
Oh, I was looking at the cat. It really needs a clean.
Mm.
Really.
Okay, moving on. Let's not discuss car washing on podcast. Ooh, it's kind of
look
like...
Look at the colour of that. That's almost like...
It's coming out of there.
It's red or something. Do you need a blade in it or something?
Oh, no. The whiskey will kill off any known germs, I'm sure.
I'm hoping. Wow, that's going to be something like a... Like it's been stored in, you know, like...
Sherry casks.
Sherry casks. How's the smell?
Oh, that's a lovely smell.
Sherry.
Cherry.
Definitely getting sherry.
Oh,
now.
Yeah. Right, I would agree with that. Okay.
What are you getting smell-wise? I'm getting ocean. I'm getting coastal.
I don't know. I'm getting Sutton. But the seaweed was quite stinky when we came home, so you never know, it might be just blowing in.
Well, I was... Guess what? Tell them what I was doing today.
Yeah. For you on Instagram, you'll already know this. Hogmanay, Richard decides, well, it's the last day of the month, I'm going to go and jump in the sea. Pause for effect. North Sea, 31st of December. Aha. How cold was it?
Cold.
You did have your winter wetsuit on and your hat, your gloves and your scarf.
It was still cold. I thought my teeth were going to fall out.
He still managed to do it. It was
swimming hard enough because all I could think of is...
Poor beagles.
Poor beagle sharks.
Oh, yeah, there's been a washed up dead poor beagle shark.
It's huge.
On that beach. It's huge.
It's only a baby one as well.
Is it?
It's 2 metres.
It's been there a week at least. So the good people of Caithness have been having a good stroll around along... Reese Beach to have a look at it, and it's still in pretty good condition. I thought that the sharks and the seagulls, or scories as we call them, the crabs, did I see sharks? I think I did. The sharks have been coming up the beach going, Chimmy, Chimmy, come back to us, Chimmy. Nope, right, I'm going to eat you.
The seals were having a good chew in it, I think.
Well, it's high tides just now.
Big tides, big breakers. It was great.
Yeah,
swimming about, getting rolled about in the waves. It's magic.
Booker wasn't for going in, but I'm probably kind of glad in a way he didn't.
No, it was quite. They were quite fearsome waves.
Yeah,
and it gets deep quick. Because I was only a couple of metres off and I couldn't touch the bottom.
Right, back to the dram.
I'm getting kind of peery. What do you call them? Sweets. Sucky sweets. What are they called?
Pear drops.
Pear drops.
No, I'm not getting pear drops.
I'm getting pear drops.
I got pear drops on that one.
It's not so much pear drops. It's a kind of like almost like a chemically kind of smell I'm getting.
No, acetone.
Is it acetone?
That's what they mix up pear drops. That's what I got for the first one.
All right.
Right. Water before the listeners fall asleep.
Anything else you're going to...
There's loads of things in there, but I don't know what it is.
Almost floral as well, I'm getting. Sounds fat.
Sounds fat, Stuart.
Sure.
Again, doesn't taste like it smells. Ooh! But it's a really nice taste when it hits the back of your
very
tongue.
Very mellow.
That's
a very mellow dram.
Oh, smoke. Getting smoke now. Mm-hmm. Think that's
Sky.
Think that's Talisker. Or Highland Park. Does Highland Park have that much smoke in it?
Not that much.
Could we get the bottle of Talisker down and step out of it? Just a comparison.
That's coastal. So you're going to go Talisker. We'll go stick our neck in the Talisker.
It's either a Talisker.
An old Talisker.
It's not far off what I've got up there.
Well, 12.
Yeah. It's lovely though, Stuart. Thank you for this one.
That is a nice one. Number three really is our favourite so far.
So far.
It's probably going to be cooking whiskey. It'll be Gordon and McPhail's best. It's what he used to clean out the tubs. That's nice, I like that.
I really like that one.
Some flavours here.
It's a different flavour when you first drink it to when it hits the back of your tongue, do you think? And then when you breathe out over it again. Listeners, I am no longer sober.
We're almost halfway.
Yeah, I like that one. I can't give you any more flavours other than it's either a Talisker, which I'm pretty sure it tastes very similar to the Talisker. I really like Talisker. Or another.
We'll go for ski again.
Or the other Isla malt that is not Laphroaig. See?
Well, there's quite a few.
Well, Lagavulin.
Boonahaven.
What's the one that we had? Foinahaven or something. Isla begins with A.
Isla. Put Sky stroke Isla.
I don't think it's
not smoky enough for Isla.
No. What do you think?
But then it's not harsh enough for a Sky. Sky's quite harsh. Look, nice flavour, but strong. It's like Sky! Welcome Sky!
Maybe it's Island Park then. I haven't had Island Park for a long time. Because that's got a bit of smoke in it, hasn't it?
A wee drop. It's not a strong, smoky one, though.
No. Oh, this is more strong.
No, I think you can be distinctive Island Park.
Well, it wouldn't be Mull then.
Could be Mull. I can't remember last time I had Mull.
I don't remember the Mull being smoky.
No, do I.
But it's definitely an island dram.
Island dram.
With Pete.
An island.
Pete and smoke. Or smoke. Is it smoke or is it Pete?
Petey. I'm getting Petey. I'm not getting smoke as such.
Okay. You finished yours already. There's a kind of perfumey flavour to the end of that.
Yeah. Let's be honest. We don't have a clue what we're talking about here. We make up these things.
Yeah, I was wondering when the listeners would actually notice.
They're not twigged on yet.
Shh, listeners, don't tell each other. I'm going to put the second half in with the answers next episode to see how right or wrong we were. Thank you so much to Stuart for giving us the whiskey in the first place. It was such good fun doing this. And thank you for the sore head in the morning. Yeah, that was awesome too.
Shoppy section.
Thank you very much for your purchases the past week. I very, very much appreciate it. The shop has currently got one Red McGregor, one Buchanan, one Hunter, which is a very bonny tartan. And as I mentioned, I will have Ancient Fraser Black Watch, and it was a Robertson tartan coming very soon, i.e. Saturday afternoon. I've just been on houseoftartan.co.uk, which is a tartan finder on. And what you do is you type in the colour sequence of the tartan So, for instance, the Robertson had come adrift from its bag and its label, and I wasn't sure what it was, so I typed in RBRGRBRGRGRGRGRB. And because it gives you a key for R is red, B is blue, R is red, G is green, and it gives you sort of a combination of different things to ask, put in, and it came out with the correct tartan. So I was absolutely delighted with the House of Tartan for that. Although I then went back to look up what tartan a skirt I have is, and it suggested it might be a McWilliams, but when I then went to confirm that with Google Images is a brilliant thing, I couldn't find it, so I'm still none the wiser of what this tartan is. It would have been registered with the Tartan Registry in Scotland, because it was made from the mill in Brora, but I still need to find out what it is. Oh well, I'll get there. If you feel you'd like to contribute to my continued running of the podcast, but you get stuff back as well, please do go visit www.etsy.com/shop/Caithness Craft.
Blah 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 section.
Thank you very much for listening. I do appreciate you taking the time to download and then listen to me splaff on and on and on. I would like to add that all opinions are mine and sometimes Richard's, and I do occasionally get the facts wrong, but I try not to and don't do it on purpose. My email is caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I am on Ravelry as Louise Hunt, Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Pinterest, Instagram, and Facebook as Caithnesscraft. You can access Flickr photos from Louise G 2010. The podcast is hosted on www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com. The intro and outro are from Free Music Archive, and it is called Entertainment for the Brain Dead by Afraid. Not that I think any of you are brain dead, I just like the birdie at the start. Thank you for listening, and keep on crafting.